went to be with her dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Sunday, January 22nd, 2023. Sarissa was born on November 5th, 1935 in Boston, Massachusetts to William W. Clark and Virginia W. Clark. She was baptized in the Holy Christian Church in November 1935 at a congregational church in Marion, Massachusetts. After Sarissa was graduated from high school in Danbury, Connecticut, she went on to get her degree in teaching from Danbury State Teachers College. She then went on to spend many years instructing many elementary school students, both in Connecticut and in Houston, Texas. In 1958, she met her future husband, Howard E. Lubeck, in Puerto Rico, where he was stationed with the Army, and she was teaching. Sarissa was confirmed in the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in 1958 at Transfiguration Lutheran Church, Rio Piedras, Puerto Rico. Howard and her were married June 13, 1958, at George O. Robinson School Chapel, Santurce, Puerto Rico. Their union was blessed with three children, Alan, Vanessa, and Glenn, as well as an adopted granddaughter, Faith. After retirement, her love of children caused her to continue teaching by tutoring neighborhood children and as a volunteer helper at Andersonville Elementary School in Austin, Texas. She also spent many years as a Sunday school teacher. She loved Christmas, singing, and hosting theme parties for her friends on holidays. She also was devoted to her cat, Tash, and her mini lab retriever, Aviar, which she called the best dog in the whole world. Sarissa was predeceased by her parents, William and Virginia Clark, a brother, John Clark, as well as her daughter, Vanessa. She is survived by her beloved husband, Howard, and children, Alan, Glenn, and adopted granddaughter, Faith. Sarissa will be greatly missed by her family and friends, for whom she was always showing her loving concern and smiling encouragement. Bear will follow at Killeen in the Fort Hood Veterans Cemetery February 10th at 1 p.m. The congregation is invited to stay for a light luncheon afterwards in the fellowship hall. Dear family and friends, your wife, mom, grandmother, friend liked to sing. You know that about her. You know her favorite Christmas carol is the rather difficult to sing, O Holy Night. Every year for the 20-plus years we caroled at her home, we sang it to her. Even though we rarely sang it elsewhere, we always sang it for her. One year, quite early on, she sang it solo for us. That was special, and it was actually good. Sarissa had another song. One she heard the Wednesday before she passed, and again less than 24 hours before the angels came for her. It's called in the communion liturgy the Nunc Dimittis, now dismiss. It's called Simeon's Song from the aged Simeon who first sang it 40 days after Christmas, which would be today, February 2nd. You will confess a paraphrase of this song at the end of the funeral liturgy. Sarissa heard it at the end as she had sung it at the very start of her life in the Lutheran Church. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Sarissa's eyes did see the Lord's promised salvation despite a lifetime of illness. Sarissa was at Seton Central for surgery one time, and I don't remember which one. I was with her in the pre-surgery room. A nurse came in carrying a bulging file more than a foot wide. It was Sarissa's medical record. What does that sort of life look like? Your loved ones and close friends know better than I do. I asked her later when was her first medical matter. She said, when I was born, my head was attached to my shoulder. They had to do surgery to correct that. So what did surgery look like in 1935? But that was only the first of what I can only describe as weird medical things that befell Sarissa. Things with her thyroid, or bones, or bowels, or bladder, and more. I became Sarissa's pastor when she was the age I am now. She already had a multitude of afflictions. I don't know that I could bear for 22 years what this woman did. Yet I've lost count of how many times over these years Sarissa would give a spontaneous confession of how good God was. During five or more years of almost complete immobility, she continued to receive gratefully my word and sacrament ministry. She continued to confess that she believed in the forgiveness of sins. She believed in the resurrection of the dead. And she believed in the life everlasting for Jesus' sake. Her life was not a bed of roses preaching to her of the forgiveness of sins. Her body certainly wasn't teaching her of the resurrection of the dead. And everlasting life didn't show itself either. But she confessed all three. She believed all three. She believed that when she partook of the Holy Communion, the body and blood of her Savior, she was eating forgiveness, resurrection, and life. That point's worth repeating. These things were not evident to eyes, ears, or any of the senses, forgiveness, resurrection, and life. Actually, though, every now and again, Sarissa would say that she felt them. Despite the hiddenness behind a sick body, a frail body, a pained and uncomfortable body, she confessed them. Once I was visiting and Sarissa's mother was there. I don't understand the mother-daughter dynamic in general, but there was something there between this mom and this daughter. And it was theological. I know that for a fact because even though I can't remember the point, I only know when it came time to distribute the body and blood of Christ, Sarissa asked if she could receive them kneeling. And she did, right there in her living room. It was her testimony to the fact that her Lord and Savior were present right then and there. She was saying by her outward action what Simeon did when he took the baby Jesus in his arms from Mother Mary. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. I've communed hundreds and hundreds of people privately over 40 years. She's the only one who has ever asked to receive the Holy Communion on bended knee. Let me tell you another mother-daughter story that reflects Sarissa confessing of things not evident. Vanessa, her daughter, and I went many rounds together till she at last died in the faith. But they were heated discussions, sometimes in person, some on the phone. After one with Vanessa where I was particularly emphatic, that also means loud, I was talking to Sarissa on the phone. I think I called her about coming to see her, but she might have even called me. I remember her saying, "Pastor, you told Vanessa the right two things she needed to answer. They were, do I need a savior from sin, death, and the devil that are leading me to hell? And number two, who can be that savior?" Now, there are a whole lot of parents. There are not a whole lot of parents that can see their child get crossways with the pastor and take his side. Your wife, your mom, your grandmom, and my friend did. So do you know the question that faces you today in the light of Sarissa's death? You're lost, even if temporary, in grief. Do your eyes see the Lord's salvation here? Sure, you see what St. Paul in our epistle readings in 2 Corinthians 5 saw. Here is a tent that needed tearing down. But can you see Sarissa further clothed in Jesus' blood and righteousness? Can you see that in her baptism she bore his beauty and his glorious dress? Can you see that even in life the Lord was able to do for her what he promised? She did. Walking by faith and not by sight, we can too. The aged Simeon, who seems frail and close to dying, could confess that the baby he held in his arms was his salvation. What? The child hadn't done anything. Oh, yes, he had. Oh, yes, he had. God the Son had taken on flesh and blood in the womb of a virgin. He had stepped into the breach between the holy God and us sinners. He had forestalled the wrath of God breaking out against all mankind by becoming man. Already in the womb, the man of sorrows was bearing our griefs. Already he who inhabited the praises of eternity was in fallen time for us. Already he was taking our place, doing what we could not keep, all the commandments. Already he was under the law. Already perfectly innocent, he was heading for a date before the bar of God's justice to confess himself guilty of our sins. Sarissa saw that. He confessed hers. Do you see that he confessed yours, mine, ours? Long lay the world in sin and error pining, laments Sarissa's Christmas carol. I think she keenly felt that. And she knew the antidote to it. It's in the next verse. The King of Kings in lowly manger lying, in all our trials born to be our friend. It's also in the gospel reading. The King James correctly translates, you believe in God. Most people do, you know. The Bible says only a fool says there's no God. But guess what? Even devils believe there is a God. If you believe God apart from Christ, you know you were created by him and answerable to him. That's cold comfort. That's actually no comfort. Because I don't know about you, but I have no answer for my sin and sinfulness. Jesus does. That's why the crucial point is not believing in an all-powerful, invisible, faceless God who says he's a consuming fire and dwells in light unapproachable. No, the crucial point is, as Jesus says, believe also in me. Jesus is our wisdom, salvation, sanctification, and more. Jesus is the rock of ages that cleft for us. His skin, which is our skin, was whipped, slapped, tortured, nailed, damned, dyed, and pierced. Because Jesus' skin is the skin of God, and because it was innocent, holy, not having done, said, or thought all the wicked things I have, his skin is a wrath-removing offer. His suffering, damning, and dying appeased the white-hot wrath of God, which no sinner, not me, not you, not anyone can withstand. In Jesus, the fires of God's wrath have been quenched. Hear the sizzle. And know that now this Jesus is here for you, for all, for Sarissa. The waters of Jesus' baptism clothe a person with him. He is present in words of forgiveness spoken in his name, and in bread that is his body, and in wine that is his blood. Jesus is present to all five senses. I think Sarissa is an artist. I know she liked to color intricate patterns. She appreciated imagery. So, do you see that the Good Shepherd has kept his promise to this sheep of his, who's also your wife, your mom, your grandmom, your friend? He didn't let her down. Certainly in the heavenly mansion, Sarissa doesn't think that. But how about you? Is Sarissa in want now in the arms of her shepherd? Not hardly. Her soul that was in a body plagued by so many things, so much pain, is restored. What about the valley of the shadow of death? Did she need to fear evil? Did the Lord leave her there? No and no. Jesus is at least as good a divine shepherd as fallen men are to their sheep. But can we fully confess that last line of Psalm 23? That goodness and mercy followed her all the days of her life, and that she now dwells in the house of the Lord forever. Surgery after surgery, loss after loss, pain upon pain, Sarissa experienced. But she almost always could get back to the blessing of her family, her husband, her church. Oh, there were down times. But I think then, even then, her new man confessed the truth of God's grace. I say this because years ago, when Sarissa was in a coma for more than a week, I went to see her several times. When I came back from vacation, she was to herself. And she said, you know, I heard every word you said. I asked, were they a comfort? And you know how like the Yankee that she is, she would answer usually directly with yes. This time she said, oh yes. May the words that comforted her comfort you until you see each other in the world without end. Amen.